So we're talking about the din of Dina de Garmi, which we said is basically indirect damage. We went through, I would guess, maybe 5-6 sugyas in Shas and discussed what's called grama, which is one level of indirect damage, which you're putter for in this world, which was a whole discussion by itself, but your archive in the next world, whatever that means. And then there's Garmi, which is a higher level of indirect damage, which is more direct, and that is machloikes, we paskin is chayiv. The Gemara gives a few examples that we know for sure are in the category of Garmi. One of those examples is if you burn someone's shtar, so he has a document that he can use to collect money, and now he can't collect the money anymore. So you didn't actually damage him. You didn't take away his money, but you made it that he can't collect his debt. So that's called dinar de garmi, and you're chayiv. Another example the Gemara says is if you show a moiser who shows a tax collector where someone's money is, which is nagia nowadays. After Sukkot, we're going to go into that in detail. But if someone comes after you and says, hey, where's the money? Where's the money? And nowadays it works a little differently, but it still happens. Now, where's the money? And you show him the money, that's called dinay de garmi, and the moiser is chayiv. The moiser is chayiv in certain cases. That's called garmi, even though you didn't actually steal his money, but you showed the moiser where it is. And a third case that the Gemara says is garmi is if you let your stuff overgrow into your friend's field and it became klaim. That's another case. All these cases, basically, the reason it's direct is because it's for sure going to happen. The Ramban says it's bari azeka. It's for sure going to happen. And you're kind of interacting directly with the money. But let's talk about a case of grama. If anyone's learning Daf Yomi, there's a Gevaldika case of grama this week in Daf Yomi. The case of grama is like this. This is a classical case. You sold someone bad seed. So they're trying to plant the seeds, and in order to have the wheat to grow, you need good seeds. So you sold them poor quality seeds. Why? Because they're good. It's good wheat if you want to make bread out of it. You could grind it up and make flour and make bread, but you cannot replant those seeds. You plant the seeds, it won't grow. So you sold someone the seeds. You didn't know what they were planning on doing with it, and now he planted his entire field and nothing grew. So the Gemara says you have to pay him back. You have to pay him back, reimburse him for the money that he spent. You have to reimburse him for the money he spent on the seeds. But the Gemara wants to know, what about, do you have to reimburse him for the money of the planting and all the workers? And so the Gemara says, no, that's grama. That's grama. That was indirect. So that would be a classical case of grama. You don't have to pay for the expenses that he now lost because you sold him the bad seed. That's called grama. Why is that not garmi? First of all, it's not garmi for many reasons. First of all, you didn't interact directly with that money. You didn't interact with his workers. So, and it's not bari. It's not for sure he's going to lose. Maybe he is going to use it for something else. Or maybe he's going to do the planting himself. And there's a million reasons why maybe he's not going to end up losing money from this. So Mamela, there's no Dina de Garmi on that. Okay, but these are the different cases that, amongst the different cases that we said. Now, we mentioned last week that there's a machloikis between the Shach and the Ramban. What is the chiv of Dina de Garmi? Is Dina de Garmi a knas? And really, Garmi and Grom is all the same. It's all the same. But some cases, Chazal made a knas. It was like punitive. It's like because it's something which can happen very frequently. It's shchiach. So memela, if we did not put a knas on you and we didn't make you have to pay, people would just be doing this all the time. And no, they can get off the hook. So memela, they made a knas on it, or it's not because of that, but rather it's because of it's a real chiyuv midiraisa. The Ramban holds it's a real chiyuv deraisa. The Shach holds it's a knas. So I want to go through the Shulchan Aruch and show you three or four nafkaminas between the Shach and the Ramban. Very, very interesting cases, okay? So let's start with the Shulchan Aruch on page It's Simon Shchoshim Mishpat Simon Shin Pei Vav, which is on page 13 in the Pavlet. So it says like this: the Shulchan Aruch paskins Kai Malan. We paskin ki Rabbi Meir. We paskin like Rabbi Meir, the Doin Dina de Garmi, who is Don Dina de Garmi. Oh, skip a little. We made it to page 18 already. Not bad. V'davka ba'adam chayiv dina de garmi, avo bebehema l'kuli alma potter. So interesting case, okay? Nafkamina, this is another nafkamina. This is another nafkamina between the Ramban and the Shach. One nafkamina is, we said last week, does the estate have to pay? Someone went ahead and did a dina de garmi. What did he do? He burnt someone's shtar. So Reuven burnt Shimon's shtar. Shimon now cannot collect his debt. Shimon is down $1,000. So he wants to collect the $1,000 from Reuven. Reuven dies. Can he collect the $1,000 from Reuven's estate? From the Yorshim. So according to the Ramban, he could, because Reuven actually owes him the money. But according to the Shach, that it's only a knas for doing something wrong. So we only count in the father, not the estate. And therefore, you'll be potter. But here's another nafkamina. This entire time we've been talking about damages, there's always two categories of damage. There's damages that a person does himself, adam amazik, and then there's damages that your property does to someone, which is momen amazik. For example, your animal went and ate someone's grass. Did you eat the grass? No. Your property ate the grass. Your animal ate the grass. And therefore, you were not shomer your animal. You have to pay. Your fire went and burnt someone. You had a fire in your property, and then it got out of control, and it went out of your property and burnt down something. So you have to pay for that. That's not you doing it. That's your fire doing it. You dug a bore. All these things, right? What would happen if your animal goes and eats up someone's gold watch? You have to pay for it, right? Stepped on the gold watch. He banged up the gold watch. You got to pay for it, right? Shor, regel, whatever. What happens if the shor went and ate up someone's shtar?
Happens all the time. I still gave my homework.
An immigrant ate your dog.
What?
An immigrant ate his dog.
So, if your animal went, your dog went and ate someone's shtar. So now, it's a garmi, but you didn't do the garmi. If you would have ripped up the guy's shtar, you have to pay him, not for the paper. You don't have to pay him 3 cents for the paper. You have to pay him the $1,000 that was in that shtar that now he cannot collect. What if you didn't do it? What if your animal did it? Do you have to pay for that $1,000 or not? Or, let's say your fire went and burnt the shtar. Do you have to pay or not? So Shulchan Aruch paskins, the Ramah paskins, Dafka ba'adam chayiv dina de garmi, avo bebehema potter. Behema your potter, you don't have to pay. So the Shach says, that only makes sense according to me, because I hold it's a knas. Really, it's indirect damage, you don't have to pay for ruining someone's shtar. But made a knas if you go ahead and do it. But your animal did it, they never made a knas. And that's the Ramah's opinion. But he says, the Ramban is very clear that since it's a chiv derai, so what does the Ramban hold? The Ramban holds, the lumdus of the Ramban is that since the shtar is such a close connection to the money, when you went ahead and took away his ability to collect, it's like you took away his money. It's like a maisa be a dime in the money. So there's no difference if you did that or your animal did it. You would have to pay. So this is an afkamina between the Ramban and the Shach. Very interesting case, right? So, do you have to pay for that? Like we mentioned last week, there's a couple cases of garmi. There's cases of garmi nowadays that come up that would be shaykh to the shayla. Another shayla. What happens in dina de garmi if you didn't intend to do it? Right? You did it by accident. Or even more, b'aynis, it wasn't even your fault. So remember, till now we've been learning, adam muad lo'ilam, there's no excuses for damage. Whatever it is, you have to pay. So if you're walking in the street and there's a glass thing sitting there and you, whatever, for whatever he didn't do, so it wasn't his fault, and you stepped on it, you didn't realize, you have to pay. There's a thing, a glass thing, yeah, I'm just tired, I go like this, I didn't realize, I knock it off, I have to pay. That's the halacha. Because Adam Muad La'ilam. It's Adam Muad La'ilam for Dina Digarmi. I didn't know what was going on. What was the case? The case was that I'm just cleaning up your house, I'm cleaning up the papers, and I threw it out, and I didn't know what was going on over there. And I'm doing my job because I'm the cleaning lady. And the cleaning lady went ahead. She's supposed to, you tell her all the time, there's all this random stuff, just clean everything up, throw it out. So she throws out the shtar. Now you cannot collect. So she did her job, but it's called Adam Muad La'ilam, and you have to pay. It's like Tabach Uman, right? I know it's not your fault, but if she would have thrown out a gold coin in the process, she would have to pay. Because
there was a check among the papers.
Right.
You didn't see the check.
And now you can't deposit it.
Throw out the papers.
It's Adam Muad La'ilam. Right? So I'm saying, if it would be direct damage, there would be no shaila, you would have to pay. So if in the pile of stuff that you threw out, there was something of direct value, you would have to pay for that. If there's a gold coin in that pile, and she's gathering together the stuff and throws it out, she would have to pay. But what if there's a shtar over there? So you're chayiv for a shtar because Adam Muad La'ilam, but it's only on Dina Degarmi. Do you say Adam Muad La'ilam on Dina Degarmi? Or, since it's indirect damage, it has different rules. It's only if you intended to do it. So, if you look here, the Shach says this is also a machloikas between him and the Ramban. Which letter is that in? It's in Vav in the Shach, which is right here on page 18. The next thing, Vav in the Shach, he says, Lafikach, cause of Marshal, Dechol Dina de Garmi Patrinan Be'oines. Umash Masam Duadin Sarv Shtoros Be'oines. Avalarm Bam Dina de Garmi Shalai Lekosov Kane. Elekosov de Moiser Umoichel Shtar Vichiagavna, the Dibur Bamuhu Vakilur Bonn, the Dibur of Losser Be'oines Cross, and you less Elahidina El Bayagrama. Anyway, he makes a machloikas between the Ramban and the Shach on this point. So all these are nafkaminas, if it's a Kanas, or not. But here's the more basic nafkamina. The more basic nafkamina is, what about things which did not exist in the time of Chazal? So if you say it's a knas, generally, we have no right to expand the knas beyond whatever the knas was set on. Chazal said it. You don't know what they would have applied it to. But if it's rules and regulations like the Ramban, then you're chayiv. So, what happens if there's something that did not exist in the time of Chazal? And now, it exists, and we think it's like Garmi. So, what would be the din there? What would be the din there? So, let's give an example. Like I mentioned last week, I think it's a good example. Someone sends you a virus to your computer. And you open the email, and the virus takes over your computer.
On purpose or accidentally? Will that include the Shach and Marshall?
Let's say it was on purpose. Does he have to pay now for that damage? I didn't ruin your computer. It's Garmi, maybe, because I sent you something that, you know, is gonna you have to do the next step.
What was the intent of it?
The intention was to
cause you damage.
So
you're
responsible for
damage. I would say to intent. You have intent.
Yeah, but how direct is it?
It's going to ruin the computer.
Not if the guy catches it, not if the guy doesn't open the emails. Not Bar Yazega. It's not for sure.
Is it Bar Yazega? Let's say he did it in a way that Pashas is going to... But the question is, according to the Shah, maybe in the Ramban it's Garmi, because it's pretty much Bar Yazega. Let's say. But I don't know, in the Shah... In the Shah, what's the problem? The problem is that does that really damage the computer, or what happens? You lose documents, right? Now you can't do the work that you would want to do. So it's all Garmi at best. You lost your documents, you lost your files, you can't do it, and then you have to hire someone.
Why isn't that koach adam? Because you're sending the files.
No,
there's nothing physical.
It's the new medium. That's your koach. You're sending it. It's like.
No, but he has to open it.
Okay, so if I throw a rock at your property, you could stand there and swat it away. But he didn't swat it away.
No. It's not could swat it away. It's I have to let it in.
It's
Bar Yezek. So, but I'm saying, but the hezek is garmi. What's the hezek? It took away my documents. It didn't break the computer. It makes it that you have a lot of stuff in there that you can't access now. Right. So that's exactly my point. So it's destroying documents. So maybe it's just the same thing as Sarif Shtar Yisov. You're saying it's the same thing as Sarif Shtar Yisov, basically.
It's no worse than. An encryption is something locked up all your data. You can't get in. It's like I put a new lock on your front door, and I told you if you want me to open lock the door, you have to pay an extra thousand. Give me $1,000, and I'll unlock your door. I don't know
how these things work. These viruses. Everyone is probably different. I'm assuming. So let's say like that. But did the concept of viruses exist in the time of Chazal? No. So maybe in the Shach you have to figure out now, would Chazal have made a knas on this? It's very hard to figure out in the Shach's world. Exactly what's going on. So, let's go through one or two more cases in the Shulchan Aruch so that we can maybe get a little more flavor for what the din is. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Zlofikach, therefore, in page 20, Hadoichef matbeya shel chaveiro ad sheyarad liyam. You have, a guy has a very expensive gold coin or jewelry, and you push it into the ocean. I didn't damage it. It's in the ocean. Chayiv, you have to pay. You never stole it, but you have to pay because it's garmi. You can't reach it anymore. You took his coin and you took out the imaging on it, so you can't use it. This is an interesting case. In those days, I guess, I mean, I don't know exactly what the scenario is today, but. Basically, you sold the debt. Fine. You sold the debt, but then you went to the original debtor, the person that owed the money, and you were moichel it. What? So you sold the debt to someone else. You collected the money. Now he's going to go and try to collect it. The guy says, I'm off the hook because the guy was moichel me. So that's why I said, I don't know nowadays if this would work. But in the Gemara has a whole lumdus why it works. How could you be moichel it after you sold it?
It's not yours anymore.
So the Gemara says you only sold the shibud aguf, not the shibud. You only sold the shibud nechasim. It's a whole thing, but you could still be moichel it somehow. So do you have to pay for that? So the shulchan aruch passing is you do. Now let's go weiter. Let's go to Gimel.
Rabbi, is there a parallel case to the virus that you can?
That's what we need to figure out. So we have a case of burning people's documents that you are chayav for that. So this would be similar. On the other hand, the Gemara says that if you open someone's gate and then the animals go out by themselves, you're potter. Why? Because something else has to happen for your damage to work. So now the question is, if he has to open the email, so maybe the guy who sent the virus is not chayiv, because technically speaking, it requires an action on the part of the other guy.
I don't know if it's really parallel, because if you're sending your friend a email and you have a relationship, there's an inherent trust.
And there's an inherent assumption that he's going to open it.
Yeah, there's a trust that I can open this.
Right. Right. So I'm a supik about it. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I think it's a great case, but I don't know the answer. I think it's something that's like it's one of those things that you need a die-in to start making comparisons. And Siv Gimli talks about the case we've been discussing for a while, that someone threw something off the roof and there was a pillow on the bottom, and a guy came and took away the pillow. So the Shulchan Aruch passes, you're chayev for that, because it's bar yezek, it's for sure going to get damaged. But the Ramah comes and says, no, you're potter on all those cases. The Ramah seems to have a much stricter, much more strict definition of garmi. So, it seems like that the Rama is going with the Shach, and the Rama basically says that the way to figure out if you're chayiv or not is anything which is shchiach hezeka. It's common. I don't exactly know how to figure that out, but anything which is common. Now, there's one case over here that I want to focus on, which we're not going to get to fully here, but I want to introduce the case. And it's very negiah, like Rav David was telling me there's a whole case on it, but besides, it's obvious that it's negiah. So, the Gemara talks about what if you went over to a shulchani. Shulchani is someone that trades money. And the shulchani has a couple coins there, and he doesn't know if they're good quality coins. So someone comes and says, "Yeah, I want to give you some coins to trade. You want to pay for the coins?" He said, "Look, I don't know this. You know, I'm not an expert in Italian coins. You know, you're selling me stuff I don't really know about." So he says, "Yeah, trust me, they're good coins. They're good." So he buys the coins. Then he tries to go trade the coins, and then the customers basically tell him, "These coins are useless, worthless. They're not valid coins." So, forget the guy that sold them to me, or how I got them. But I asked someone advice, and I trusted the advice that I received, and because I got bad advice, I ended up losing money. Is the person who gave the advice chayev? It's garmi. It's kind of garmi, because he relied, right, on the advice that he was given. So when you rely on the advice that you're given, and then the advice goes kaput, so is there a garmi on that? And this is very negiah to brokers and all this type of stuff. Right?
Well, I think that if you relied on the advice, you took the risk. You didn't have to listen to him. You could have analyzed it better. You didn't have to listen to him. It's like you take the advice of the stockbroker, and the stock goes the wrong way. That's your risk.
That's definitely because it's you have what to look into. You have what to look into, but if you don't have you have completely no way of looking into this, and you're relying completely on this person. The case of the Gemara is a case like this. There's a dayan, and we mentioned it last week. And you ask the dayan, "Is this tar or is this tummy?" And the dayan says it's tar. Okay, it's tar. Then I went ahead and mixed it up with all my stuff. And then we come back the next day, "Oh, by the way, it's actually tummy. Sorry about that." Well, now in the meanwhile, I made all my stuff tummy. So everything lost value. Because tar stuff is worth a lot more than tummy stuff. So does the dayan have to pay?
That's different.
Okay, so that's the case where you're relying on the dayan, right? You can't say, right? So the Gemara says that, what does the Gemara say? I think the Gemara says if it's nasav and nasam biyad, then you're chayiv v'kuli alma. But other than that, you're also chayiv. Right? Yeah. The Gemara here. It's the Gemara in Daf Kof, I think. The Gemara brings it in. But it's one of the cases that seems to be that you're chayiv. Here. It's on page 6 of your pamphlet. It says, "Ilim Armer de Tanan, Donis Adin, Zikas Achayev, Chiv is Azak, Aitime Satar, Tira Satome, Mashasa Osavi Shalim mi Besai." You have to pay. The Gemara is saying maybe it's not a riot, but you have to pay. So the Gemara seems to have this case that if you rely completely on somebody, and because of that you went ahead and took action based on that, and because of that you lost your money, the Gemara seems to say you're chayav for that.
Again, I think the confusion is that it's not if something happens in the future that was. In other words, if I give you a stock coin, it had a 60-40 chance, and I was wrong, it was the 40, not the 60, nobody's going to say you're chayav, because that's, I told you, but if I told you, buy this thing, it's worth more now,
and it really was worth nothing now.
Right.
I'm selling you Enron, or I'm selling you a Ponzi scheme, and it has no value now. So then, right now I'm causing you hazard. I'm not causing you a future.
No, that's the point. In other words, you relied on someone to explain to you something. And because of that, you invested really at the time that he was being told about the deal. It was a bad deal to begin with. It wasn't like the stocks that there's inherent risk. It wasn't about the risk. It was a mistake to begin with. I think that, what was the case? You explain the whole case.
Value of the building would not be sustainable. And he bought it at an adjustable rate, and three weeks later the rates went up and the building, the whole deal went into bankruptcy because of the leverage. And so the person took him to the Torah, took this person, the Rebbe, who joined this deal, took the real estate guy to the Torah to find out if it was, because he told him it was a great deal. And so the question was, at the time of the deal, was it a great deal or was it just a pipe dream?
What was the determination?
Well, like everything else in the world is machlokes.
But what did the Torah say?
And they asked two different rabbanim, and they got two different answers.
The question was, he made a mistake or he scammed them on.
It wasn't scammed.
It wasn't a scam, but it was saying that it was good based on information that any other investor would have ever gone into, because it's obvious that it's not good.
Then the buyer took the risk.
Yeah, the buyer was.
But the buyer is telling you, look, I don't know anything about real estate. I have money to invest. You're telling me it's good, I'm going with it.
That's the inherent nature of...
I understand that some are more risky than others.
But he's saying the risk has to be risk based on outside factors. If the risk is... It's not based on outside factors. It's ruined inside. Mineu Bay, this is going to happen. Nobody else would invest in this. So, you didn't steal my money, but I relied on you. And based on that, I went forward. So this is a great case of Garmi.
Over here is also. Is it now? The interest rate right now is what?
Correct.
What's going to be 3 weeks later?
If I was a different real estate person, I was looking to buy that property, I would never touch that deal.
Right.
So I know that deal is worthless, because if interest rates move even a drop, the whole building is worth nothing.
Well,
so
the guy who's investing has to know that much. That
the guy who's
there's nothing guaranteed with interest rates.
Right.
Correct. But the Rebbe didn't understand that. He didn't understand how it's
the Rebbe has to be careful.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not a clear case. But these are. This is why Garmi is extremely. Is going to be extremely negea to some real life cases. Okay. So next time we're going to start talking about some real life cases and go to the next step. Okay. Maybe we'll give. We'll see. We'll try to give share on some Gedalia. I'll put it on the chat if there's going to be share, okay? Shkoyach.